So just remember that. Looks like somebody may have lost a little ring, a little diamond ring, it looks like. Not yours, Brother Boy. But if anybody knows of anybody may have lost it, it was laying right here, so I'm sure somebody has put it up here. It's a little small little ring. I don't know if it's fake. If it's real, I'm gonna take it. But if it's fake, I'm gonna leave it. So we'll check it after. I'll get my look at it after service and see. Amen. Brother Anderson gave me once his sister Grace is having back spasms and she's got a herniated disc. And please keep her in your prayers. And also, Sister Angie Brown called and has a unspoken request this evening. So I know we all have unspoken requests. Hope everybody got their pipes fixed and everything. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us come out this evening, Lord. Lord, be with the ones that are traveling. We know of many people that are traveling. Remember, Wade and June are traveling. Many other ones will be traveling. Lord, just come out and bless them. Be with them. Be with our brother Daniel, Lord. Give him strength, Lord, and give us the right attitude to listen to what's being said. The request that was mentioned, Brother Anderson's sister there, Lord, come down and bless her and help her back. And Lord, remember Sister Angie Brown's unspoken request also, Lord. And we all have many, many unspoken requests. Just come down and bless us all. Forgive us for all of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You be seated.
Hold to God's unchanging hand this evening, amen. Time is filled with swift transition. Not of earth and moon can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. I'm saying hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand.
Hold to God's unchanging.
changing hands. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Let's all stand. When your journey's completed. When my journey is completed, if to God I have been true,
yes,
fair and bright, the home in glory, my sure soul will view. I'm saying hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hey, Brother Jonas, can you help me? The offering will take it while we're standing. Amen. There's power in the blood this evening. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power. In the blood of the Lamb, there is power, power, wonder-working power. In the precious blood of the Lamb, would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be wider, much wider than slow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin saves or lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus, your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to sing Because He Lives. Sister Trudy, you're going to have the special tonight. Is that what I understand? Okay. Because He Lives. Amen. We'll do it. A flat. God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy.
Bless you, saints. You know I'm still pressing my battle. Oh, I'm bound, determined to run on all the way. And it won't be very long till I press my way home. I gotta press on, yeah, I'll press on all the way. You see, I've learned a lesson from a little lily. It was struggling beneath the miry clay, spun by sir desire. That lily stand up higher, makes me press on, makes me press on all the way. Yeah, I said I'm still pressing my battles. Oh, I'm bound, determined to run on all the way. And it won't be very long till I press my way home. I gotta press on, yeah, I'll press on all the way. You see, if God provided for a tiny sparrow, surely He will meet my every need. How can I give up when He fills my empty cup? Makes me press on, makes me press on all the way. Yeah, I said I'm still pressing my battles. Oh, I'm bound, determined to run on all the way. And it won't be very long till I press my way home. I gotta press on, yeah, I'll press on all the way. You see, the race has not been given to the swift one, but it's to him that will endure till the end. When I press my final round, then I receive my heavenly crown. Makes me press on, makes me press on all the way. Oh, I said I'm still pressing my battles. Oh, I'm bound, determined to run on all the way. And it won't be very long till I press my way home. I gotta press on, yeah, I'll press on all the way. Yeah, I said I'm still pressing my battles. Oh, I'm bound, determined to run on all the way. And it won't be very long till I press my way home. I gotta press on, yeah, I'll press on all the way. I gotta press on, yeah, I'll press on all the way.
Let's all stand as we change over the service this evening. Bring out Brother Daniel Martinez. Amen. It's been a while since he's been able to be with us, to minister for us anyway, and really appreciate him and his family, David, get the whole clan here. Good to see you, brother. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see. Holy, 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 you
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a wonderful privilege of being in the house of the Lord this evening. Amen. It's been a while since I've preached at all because I kind of backed away from preaching for a while. But when Brother Wade called me up and asked me to go ahead and minister for him, I said, well, brother, I haven't been preaching for a little while. And he says, well, you're still called. I says, yeah, I'm called. He says, well, then you gotta, you'll be ready. I says, okay, I'll be ready. So be praying for me. I'm a little rusty, but let's just pray that it's not me at all. It's the Lord Jesus that wants to speak to us all something. Amen. Let's go before the Lord in prayer before we get into his word. Amen. Our dear and precious Lord and Heavenly Father, I come before you, Lord God. Of course, Lord Jesus, first of all, Lord God, I want to be grateful, Lord God, that you've forgiven my sins, Lord God, and you've gone to Calvary, that it's a finished work, Lord God. You've provided for us, Lord God. And Lord Jesus, I pray, oh Lord God, that now you would help me to yield myself, my body, my spirit, my soul, my thoughts, Lord God, all to your word, Lord Jesus, all to you, Lord God, so you can speak what you want to speak to these people, Lord God. Lord, I'm so hungry, Lord God, myself, Lord Jesus, for your word, Lord God. And I pray, O Lord Jesus, provide for us this morning, Lord, this evening, Lord God, as you promised us in your word that you would abide wherever two or three are gathered in your name, Lord Jesus. And of course, we are gathered in your name, Lord. So we pray you bless us, each and every one, in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You can be seated. I'll ask you to stand in just a little bit. I was just wanting to, you know, just say that we have never experienced the kind of cold that came this time here in Georgia. I mean, New Mexico gets cold. Yeah, it's cold over there, but not like this. This is wet. This is a wet cold. It just goes right through your clothes. Never seen it like that. I've heard of it, but never seen it. It was painful. I've never seen it where you walk out in the weather like that, and your face just feels like it stings. But we got through Christmas. It was great. All the grandkids: Josiah, Olivia, Jonas, Sophia. It's great to see them again. I enjoyed having them and being around them and playing with them somewhat. Mordecai and Isaiah. They're great little kids, and I have a good time with them. And of course, my own children too. They're not put aside, but we had a great Christmas. Joseph asked me to do a little Christmas sermon because Sunday came around and it was Christmas Day. So I did start off trying to preach there. I don't know if it was successful or not. You'd have to ask them. But I talked a little bit about John the Baptist, and I want to talk a little bit about the ministry. I want to talk a little bit about the ministry, and so let's stand up and go before the Lord, and as we read His Word. Amen. I want to turn to Isaiah, the 40th verse, 40:3. And bear with me because I use markers to get to where I need to be. Isaiah 40, the third verse. It says, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." Amen. You can be seated. I got a lot of scripture, so I'll be going through a few scriptures, but this scripture here is Isaiah, hundreds of years before John the Baptist was even born. And the scripture says that John the Baptist even received the Holy Ghost while he was yet in his mother's womb. Not too many of us get that opportunity, but he actually received the Holy Ghost while he was in his mother's womb. You can read that in Acts. I think it's Acts 1. And an interesting thing, I was reading about John the Baptist in a way where John the Baptist was told his whole ministry was described by an angel of the Lord to Zechariah. And as he was described to Zechariah, the angel explained some details about his ministry. And I'd like to talk a little bit about some of the things that were said. So let's go over to St. Luke 1, verse 11. And let's go over there real quick. This one I don't seem to have marked, so bear with me. St. Luke 1, verse 11. St. Luke 1, verse 11. And this is the angel speaking to Zechariah. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. The Christians, or should I say in the Old Testament, they used to burn incense. And incense stood for what? You know? The prayers of the people. It represented the prayers of the people. So Zechariah's turn came about, and he was going to offer incense. And, let me go on reading. Angel Lord standing at the right hand of the side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear came upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayers have been heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear a son, and thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither strong wine nor strong drink." Where does this come up? We understand that the angel of the Lord also spoke to Brother Branham and said, "Don't drink strong drink." Okay. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. Notice, he didn't say turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Now, if we go back to Malachi 4, we find out that the scripture of the coming of Elijah in Malachi 4 says he'll turn the hearts of the fathers to the children at the end of the verse. But it doesn't. But here the angel's saying he's going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Okay? But it doesn't say the children back to the fathers. The children back to the fathers was a reference given in Malachi 4 that Brother Branham explained. And we understand through the message that it's the message of this hour that brings us to that. Brings us to that. So it's almost a division of a whole ministry. The ministry of John the Baptist is different from the ministry of William Branham. Or should I say the prophet of this hour. So let's take a look. So we see he stopped there. Now we go over to Jesus when he was saying the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he was quoting, reading out of the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 60 and 1. And let's go over there. Isaiah 60 and 1. This is, of course, the scripture we're referring to is St. Luke 4:18. Jesus is reading. Let's go to there first. St. Luke 4:18. Hallelujah. St. Luke 4:18. Be praying for me. I'm a little rusty. Don't wonder if I'm going to get this point across. 4:18. Okay. Well, let's just go 4:17. And 4:17. And there was delivered unto him, they're giving him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And Jesus is speaking here. It's in red. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach the deliverance to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he stopped. Now, if you go back to Isaiah, Isaiah 60, let's go over there real quick. Isaiah 60 is purple one. No. Isaiah 60, where Jesus is quoting from this scripture. Isaiah 60, he reads the very same thing. Amen. And when you get to the second verse, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and he stops. And he didn't say, and the day of vengeance of our God. Now, if you jump across the page or down a little ways, you'll find out on 63, chapter 63 of that same, of the book of Isaiah, you'll find out it says the day of vengeance on the footnotes on the top. It says the day of vengeance. But then on the third verse of chapter 63, it says, this is actually talking about judgment day. It says, I have trodden down the winepress alone, and I have, and of the people, there was none with me, and I will tread them down in mine anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. So you see, if you're looking at him stopping there, it was his ministry. He wasn't here to preach the great judgment day. Now, if you go to Malachi 4, you drop over to Malachi 4, it's telling you of a judgment day. Let's drop over to Malachi 4. Oh, bear with me here. Malachi, 4th chapter. It says, you start on the 4th chapter, at the beginning of the 4th chapter. It says, behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. That's the great judgment day. That shall burn as an oven. And the proud, yea, and all they that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up. The day of judgment. So Malachi 4 is talking about the day of judgment, about the end time. But you go over to Malachi 4, 5, verse 6, and it tells you that there's a ministry for John the Baptist, turning the hearts of the children, of the fathers to the children, turning the hearts of the fathers to the children, John the Baptist. But then there's a comma there, and then the word, and the hearts of the children to the fathers. We know that's the ministry that came in our last day before the great day of judgment. And notice some of the aspects about that ministry was back in verse, about that ministry is in chapter 4, verse 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. So it's saying a healing ministry before the great judgment will be coming forth, and we understand that that's what we're standing in. We're recognizing that the message of this hour is showing us that there's going to be a ministry of an Elijah to come that would bring a healing ministry. Amen. So we start to see that God doesn't make any mistakes. He doesn't put a period or a pause or a stop. He doesn't stop for some reason. It's for a reason that he stopped, because there was a reason it was going to come in another time. See, when he was going to come as the judge of the living and the dead in the great judgment day, but it wasn't for the ministry he was presenting at that time. He came to save the world. He came to give his life for the world. He came to pay the price. He didn't come to bring judgment to the world at that time. And there's where we all come in. We all come in under that grace period. And that grace period is what we can reach out to and hold on to. We see that the ministry, and that's what I want to speak about, is the ministry. We understand that a minister, when you talk about ministry, ministry isn't because a person gets up here wanting to be served. Actually, a minister is a servant to the people. He's here to yield himself to the Spirit of God, to be able to study and give his life and read and ask God to give him the understanding so that he can minister to the people. He's more like a servant or a slave. Or you could say Jesus called them the 11th hour workers. They're workers. So the ministry stands here as servants to the people to minister to the people, not to be. Jesus said to his disciples, he says, what were you guys talking about? Oh, we're wondering who was the greatest. And he says, well, you know, my example to you is not to be served, but to serve. You know, the Gentiles exercise lordship, but I came to you to tell you that the one who's great amongst you is your servant. He's came to tell you the way up is down. You got to humble yourself to be anything great. You got to yield yourself to the Spirit of God to do anything that's meaningful. The way up is down. And you start to understand that this ministry, the ministry of the disciples, Peter, I mean, it took him to deny the Lord and cry bitterly and give a real sincere repentance and come back. And then he felt he was nothing. And being a nothing, he could say, silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I'll give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise to your feet. See, there's the difference. It's not anything that a person can make of himself. It's the person that will yield himself to the Spirit of God. That's what the ministry is all about. And when we talk about ministry, I look at Lula, Georgia. I look at what your church has become. Remember that when we first came out, we just came out because God sent a prophet and we saw the miracles. We saw the miracles. We saw the things that God was doing through the ministry. And we said, hey, we got to get out of denomination. We got away from denomination. We got away from the denominational ways and thinking and stuff. But the advance to the ministry came in the humility of a people that is yielded to God, that will raise up ministers and things that will say, look, I'm nothing. You're everything. You know, it's not a big me and a little you. It's you. It's you before God. And it's come to the place where Lula, Georgia is doing a great job in serving the Lord. I listened to it on the broadcast. And I said, man, I wish I could preach like you guys. You know, I wish I could say the things you guys say. I mean, I do take notes. And I says, if someday I'm going to copy what Brother Bob is saying, because someday I'm going to preach something like, I'm going to mention some of the things he said. I'm going to preach what Brother Wade's saying, because there's someday I'm going to say some of the things he says. All the ministers here, Brother Aaron, you were a great preacher. I can see and the songs, my goodness, they raise me up. And you say, well, you don't realize the impact it has across the nation. Everybody listens to you. It's a blessing. And you start to see that the history of Lula, Georgia, it's making an impact to a bride around the world. So stand firm, hold to God's unchanging hands. You're living for God, and the ministry is producing something. And I'm you're one happy family. And I realize that, you know what, that, you know, I realize that, you know, when I stand back, I says, man, that's a place at least there's no gossip there. You know, there's nobody saying anything bad about each other. They're holding to God. They're praying for each other, you know. So I start to look, and I start to look at Christianity as a whole. And I look at the things that are going on. You know, I was looking at the history of the seven church ages. Now, I'm talking about history like what the internet explains. They got people that are standing right there in Corinth, at the ruins of Corinth, and they're telling you what was going on at the time right after the book of Acts, after Paul had already preached to them and brought out a ministry and everything, and what they went through and how it typed out to the book of Revelations, the seven church ages. And I'm looking at them, and I says, you know what? It must have been very hard. You say paganism, oh, we're not going to worship idols. Why are they have a problem with that, worshiping idols and stuff like that? But, you know, Christians don't have to worry about those things. But think about it. If a Christian in those days would and this is, some people went to death, went to the, they actually wrote how they had to give their lives. They wrote their last testament, giving their lives, because they wouldn't take that little handful of incense and drop it in a little pot of fire in honor of the Caesar. Caesar was called a god. In honor of the Caesar, because everybody who went into the marketplace had to throw that incense in. And incense represented the prayers of the saints. And if you're going to drop that incense in, what's God going to look at you like? But they'd rather not go into the marketplace. They'd rather get criticized. They'd close their business down if they didn't follow their pagan ways. And Christians gave their life for that. Christians gave their lives to not take part in that stuff. And how many times would we, you know, you stand there and you say, well, I'm going to watch my television set. I'm going to do this. I'm going to. And it's not that I don't watch TV. I got that out of YouTube, okay? But it's not that. But you realize that, hey, you don't have to watch the murders, okay? You don't have to watch the investigations and the things that are out there. You don't have to watch the filth. You don't have to watch the filthy commercials. You don't have to watch all those things. There's an anointing on you. You feel that condemnation or the conscience in you that drives you to a higher calling. Amen. A higher calling in Christ. You spend your time more in prayer, asking God to please help so-and-so. She's going through some pain. Please help so-and-so. Please raise them up. Bring them out of cancer. Bring them out of what they're dealing with, because we recognize we have that love, joy, peace, love for each other. Amen. So that history of, you know what, it wasn't easy for those ones in the book of Acts. It wasn't easy for Paul. It wasn't easy for the brethren there in the gospel. They gave their lives for it. How much more are we as Christians in our day? Because we're being witness. You say, I'm a witness? I wasn't there through Brother Branham's campaigns. I'm not a witness of those things. Yes, you are. as you read and you see the scriptures and you see the how the Bible ties together, how the word comes to pass, how the word's producing, how the faith that you guys have can bring, you know, if anybody's praying, you know, I'm only saying, Lord, have Lula Georgia pray for my wife. She's at the point of death. And they did. So you see, there's the thing, when people call out to God and ask God, God will step in the scene. And I'm so grateful for those miracles, for those prayers. You know, I know it wasn't easy for the people, the disciples of that day. I know they gave their lives. Several of them were executed, and the Book of Martyrs started off in the Book of Acts. I know that happened. But we stand in a day when this ministry is coming to a climax. It's coming to a place where they'll take their stand for this gospel that's been preached, this word, there's a time, you know, when we look at where our part is in the scriptures, when we look at our ministry. You say, well, Lula, I'm looking at Española where we go to church. I'm looking at what Brother Manuel's preaching and things. And I recognize that as he's preaching, he's talking about like the things that people shun at. And they say, well, or they get surprised, or they'll say, oh, you can't say that. You can't say I and the Father are one. You can't say, Christ in me, the hope of glory. You can't say that you've got Jesus in you so well that you're perfect. You know, there is a people. The scripture says, be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. And so you start to look at, hey, the end result of a Christian that loves the Lord is going to become that his nature changes. There in 2 Peter, Second Peter, the first chapter, it says, be partakers of the divine nature. There's only one divine nature. Right. Being partakers of the Holy Ghost is being partakers of that divine nature. And if you're going to be partakers of the divine nature, you're going to have the nature of Christ in you. And the nature of Christ in you isn't to say, I'm holy, holier than thou, is to say, through humility, God has made me the Christian I ought to be. Amen. God has made me the living example to a world around me. Amen. How do you become a living example to the world around you? It's by the anointing of the Holy Spirit on your life. Amen. Amen. We stand here. We look at miracles. We look at the things God's done. We look at the ministry that this message has produced for us. And we say, well, we know that there's got to be a falling away. Scripture says there is. This falling away has happened already. But it all depends if you're going to stay the ground, or stay your way. You know, the disciples, the children of God, the ministry, the people of God always stood their ground. They stood their ground to say, I believe in Jesus Christ, no matter what the opposition wants to say. What happens? Here they come. They say, oh, you're going to believe in that? Jesus Christ has said that you're going to have to eat his flesh and drink his blood? That's cannibalism. That's vampires. What are you going to do? You say, you know what? Some of them said, I don't know why he said that. I don't know why he said that. I don't know what reason that he said that. But he's right. I don't know why. I can't explain the reasons that they go after the cloud. But what Brother Branham said, the cloud was, is good enough for me. You know, I don't have to go explain how it can't be a rocket, or how it's something else, or what it is, or all this. I just stand there and say, look, the way the prophet of God explained it is good enough for me. Because you know what? I don't see any of these critics opening some blind man's eyes. I don't see any of these critics asking the Lord to, or praying over somebody and cancer's getting well, or dead people coming to life. I don't see any of those critics doing that. I see the Word of God being manifested through a vessel that's yielded to Him. And if I can become that same kind of vessel and I yield myself to Him, I'll start producing the very same thing. Amen. The Holy Spirit in my life can produce the same things. Amen. Because it's why? Because it's a promise. I've seen it throughout the whole Word. There's a promise of God for these, for the manifestation of the sons of God, and they're going to get stronger and stronger and stronger as we move into the last days. Amen. And you can see this whole world's falling apart. The world's falling apart. I can go through and tell you about the things I see in the that Brother Branham had explained that are now coming to pass. Yeah, I can tell you of the events to me that are made clear by the prophecies. Yes, I can tell you these things. But you all are reading those things. You know those things. But what we're starting to see is that the manifestation of the sons of God, it comes from a people, a praying people, a faithful people, a people that'll seek God for every aspect of their lives. They'll seek God for their brother. They'll feel for their brother. They'll feel for their sister. When they're going through a trial, you're going through a trial. Amen. It becomes a place where you call out to God for your brother, your sister, and it starts to produce in you a ministry. Amen. A ministry that'll manifest Jesus Christ. Amen. As we look at the power of God that's been manifested through the pillar of fire, we notice what ministry can say clearly the pillar of fire is back again. You say, well, Brother Daniel, I haven't seen it in your day. I haven't seen, brother, I don't have to see it to know it's there. Amen. But yet. Beyond that point, what are you going to do when it appears here? Are we looking for the sign or are we looking for the word? The word says it's there. The word shows you it's there. The word's manifesting that it's there. And when he comes back and raises the dead or heals the sick or produces what the apostles have seen in the book of Acts, you start to say, look, I recognize that through the manifestation of the Word of God in my day, it's become just a nature to you, the nature of God in your life. Amen. I can see that God's moving. And as God's moving, I can also see that, hey, the time is culminating it's coming to an end, because I can see the cars that they're now working on are going to drive themselves. Well, they say, well, the Tesla didn't work. It's not doing that great. But it's not stopping all the rest of the car companies from approaching, looking for that. It's not stopping it's not stopping our economy from taking its bust. You know, Rome's got to buy it out one day. Let me tell you, your the money you've been putting away into your retirement, it's not what it used to be. Because there's going to come a time when Rome has to call back all the bonds. And I can see Russia being threatened over there at the Ukraine and threatening. He turns around, Russia turns around and says, you bring in aircrafts into this war. You bring in air support into this war and we're nuking the whole world. A threat. And everybody backed off. Oh, he's going to nuke the whole world. I mean, we know that the scripture says that the flesh will fall off their faces while they're still alive and the birds will come and eat them. I mean, we know that what nuke's going to do, you know. But we recognize also the bride isn't going to take any part of that. Promises that there won't be one nuke used in war before the bride's off and gone. So we're looking at promises that the God, that God has promised his people. So we look at trying to, well, we look at our lives lining up. Is your life worthy of this gospel? Bible says, is your life worthy of the gospel? So we stand back and we start to look at our lives. Am I doing the right thing? Am I doing what God asked me to do? Am I praying the time? Am I putting my time? Am I praying? Am I asking God to manifest himself in my life? Am I asking God to show himself? Am I asking God to manifest himself in my life so that I can be there at the time I'm needed? Amen? Amen. So as we stand, let's start to look at the things that God's doing in our day. Communion. You know, some of the things that God has done. Let's go ahead and stand and we'll start to get ready to close. You know, communion. We stand here and we look at, there's been a lot of things. Just like in Zechariah, an angel of the Lord has appeared in our day. The pillar of fire has appeared in our day. We have the truth about communion with unleavened bread and actually using wine instead of grape juice, the way the denominations want to push it. We have the truth about holiness. You know, when we look at the whole world falling after what it goes for in dress and clothing, and we look at this true spirit of holiness by the Spirit of God that's been produced by the book of Acts. Or in the Gospels, in the Scriptures, we look at the Holy Ghost. We look at the truth about the Godhead has been given to us. We look at the seven seals and the seven church ages has been given to us in our day and age, and we look at the manifestation of the Holy Ghost moving upon His people, and we come to a place where we say, "Oh Lord, we need You, Lord God. We need You more than ever as these days are coming upon us." Let's bow our heads. Our dear Lord Jesus, Lord God, we recognize, Lord God, that the only thing we have, Lord God, the only thing that we can get a hold of that's real and true, it's Your Holy Ghost, Lord God. It's Your Spirit that You've given us through Your Word, Lord Jesus, and through the manifestation of what You've done in our day, Lord God. Lord Jesus, we pray, oh Lord God, You help Your people, Lord God, to recognize their day, their hour, what they're living for, what they're living in, how they can give their lives to You, Lord God, and serve You with everything that's in them. Lord Jesus, we love You, Lord God. We pray, oh Lord Jesus, manifest Yourself amongst Your people all the more, Lord God, as we come closer and closer. Lord, we recognize, Lord Jesus, that You're promising us a revival amongst the bride. And the bride, Lord God, is looking towards a resurrection, looking towards a revival, looking towards a manifestation where You manifest Yourself in every aspect of our lives, Lord God. We can see that crippled limbs would come straight. We can see that minds would become clear. We can see that the power of Your Holy Spirit would, Lord, manifest itself. If somebody passes away, Lord God, they can be raised back to life. If somebody is sick, we can send a handkerchief. We'll pray over a handkerchief and send it their way. And we know, Lord God, for a fact, by just the way the book of Acts writes it, that they will be well. And their sins would be forgiven them. Lord, we know, Lord Jesus, that You are writing a book of Acts all over again. In a people that would believe You, Lord God, and believe Your word. Lord Jesus, we pray, oh Lord God, let it begin with me. Let me be able to do that, Lord God. Let me be able to yield myself to Your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. Nothing a man can do, because a man can't do anything. But Lord Jesus, You can do it. You can manifest Yourself amongst Your people, Lord God. Lord Jesus, we know, Lord God, that the disciples or the Christians of the book of Acts, Lord God, were destined to give their lives for this scriptures. Lord God. We're destined to give our lives, Lord God, but not to just go to the grave, Lord God, but to be a witness to a dying world, Lord God, of a truth that's been given in our day. Lord Jesus, let your power, Lord, move upon your through your people and in your people and manifest in every way, Lord God, making us, Lord Jesus, not anything big, Lord God, but just yielding ourselves to you, Lord God, as Christians, Lord God, living for you. Bless us, Lord God. Anoint your people here, Lord God. Fill us, Lord Jesus. Continue moving through the ministry here as it goes out around the world, Lord God, or to everybody that would listen or tune in. Lord Jesus, I pray, oh Lord God, just bless each and every one as they sit there and listen to the word coming forth, Lord God. Let the Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, step into their homes, into their lives, Lord God. And Lord Jesus, let them stand there and say, I'm giving my life to you. Every one of them, Lord God, giving their lives to you. Lord, we love you. Pray you bless your people. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Hallelujah. God bless you all. God bless you, brother. Appreciate you, brother.
Lord, bless you, saints. If we could say like Brother Dale used to say, I believe he believes what he preached.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's sing a song. You love the Lord tonight?
Kid you. So I'll fly away. What about that?
Hallelujah. Thank the Lord for giving his heart to us tonight.
Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away.
Think about all those, how he was just talking about how you can look into the word and see the promise of this day that Brother Branham would come. Amen. And you can look into that same word and see that you're fulfilling that same word.
Hallelujah.
There's going to be somebody that's harsh is going to be turned back.
Right.
You can look into God's word and see yourself identified. We just sure appreciate that word that we've heard tonight.
Amen.
Y'all remember, before we dismiss, y'all remember the service on Friday and the watch night service, of course. And all the details are on the website. And if you have any questions, post something to the chat, and somebody will answer. I think everybody knows how to get that WhatsApp chat. And if you don't, ask somebody in the back. And I sure would encourage everybody to, I don't know if you've ever heard Brother Wayne before, but he certainly has a gift in his life. And if you have a need, come expecting Friday and just come expecting to get your bucket filled.
Amen.
And I sure am. I'm sure looking forward to it. Yes. Looking forward to the time of fellowship during the watch night service and singing and listening to some good songs and some good preaching. Well, God bless y'all. Let's just pray, Lord, before we're dismissed. Lord God, we're so grateful to you for your grace to us tonight, Lord. So grateful for the word that you've given unto us, Lord. I pray, God, that you'll just bless Brother Daniel and his family, Lord, and give him strength, Lord, that you'll help him to recover, Lord God. And we know how when you preach and just pour your heart out, it just takes it from you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'll just be with him and bless him abundantly, Lord. Bless your people as they go their different ways tonight, Lord God, and be with all the saints, Lord, as they travel on the road tonight. We just ask your blessing in your name. Amen. Let's sing something as we're dismissed.
Let's just go ahead with it. I'll fly away.